I didn't write it. All I did was read it. So all I'm doing is trying to figure out how to hook this up. I was out today. They talked about microphones. Thank you guys for passing out the outline that we'll be looking at tonight. And, of course, I like to do an outline like this and put the verses on the outline that we'll be looking at so that I can remember easily what I'm doing and so that tomorrow you'll be able to say, I remember what he spoke on because I've got a sheet of paper that's got all the verses on it. Now, some of you younger people won't realize that until another 50 years, and then you'll understand exactly the philosophy behind that. But tonight I want us to look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18 through 29. And then, of course, there's a passage in 1 John 3, beginning at 24, that deals with the issue of an antichrist of all things. Now, I know Dave has been in the book of Revelation, and I hadn't been here. Have you talked about the antichrist yet, Dave? A little bit. You know, it's interesting that when you take and look up the word antichrist in the Bible, you know where it's found at? It's not found in the book of Revelation. You know, you can look at certain passages in Rome, in Revelation chapter 13, and there you see the demonic trinity, and of course most scholars believe that that's where the antichrist, the antichrist, comes from. But when you look at 1 John, you see here that really the word antichrist only occurs five times in the New Testament. They occur four times in 1 John, and it occurs one time in 2 John. Antichrist. And when you think about an antichrist, you know, you think about someone that is diametrically opposed to anything that Christ is doing. And, you know, John tells us here, and he gives us a beautiful description of what an antichrist really is. And let's just read these first verses here, and we'll try to make comments and try to finish on time. But listen to what John says there in 1 John 2:18. He says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. And we'll just stop right there because I think I'm supposed to finish by 8 o'clock. You know, it starts off here, he talks about little children again, and I love that, to be called a little child again. But he says, it is the last hour. It's interesting when you look through the different scriptures that deals with this issue, the last days, you'll see it called the last days, the last day, and all kinds of different things like that, the last hour, and so forth. But I think the concept that's being shared here, he's talking about the age in which we live in, the church age, the last hour. Now, the real last hour is going to begin when the tribulation begins. and we won't be here. All of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior will be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be in heaven with the Lord, and we won't be here. But think about anti-Christ. Anti. That means to be against. To be against. Do we live in a day of antichrists? You know, I heard a story one time about Billy Graham. He was speaking at the National Day of Prayer, and he was instructed, do not close your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, okay. When he finished his little talk at that National Day of Prayer, he said, and we thank you today in the name of the one who died for us on Calvary. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Accept our prayer in his name. Amen. He didn't mention Christ. But you know what? He got his point across, didn't he? And you know, I think today you look at some of the different things that's going on in our society. Where's the Ten Commandments at? They've removed them from public arenas all over the place. You can't do these things. I found something last week. I don't know who put it on Facebook, but there's a mountain up in western North Carolina. It's called the Woods of the Fields, the Field of the Woods. And on that mountain, they have got the Ten Commandments laid out. And at the bottom of it, they've got a row of flowers or whatever. I couldn't see it all. But it says, Jesus Christ died for our sins. I've never knew that place existed. But it's on my bucket list. And I want to go there. But you can see why there's so many problems going on today, because Christ is left out of the picture. And you know, we've got a lot to be thankful here in Rockingham County to have the Bible Bus Program, where the teachers can go into the public schools and share the scriptures. It's incredible, isn't it? We've got so much to be thankful for. And you know what? I want us to look at this right here. It says here about these individuals that left in verse 19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had they been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And you know what? Isn't it amazing how that you can go anywhere in the country or really in the world, and you can talk about anything you want to talk about. You can bring up any philosophy you want to bring up, but just don't mention a philosophy. Not a philosophy, but scriptures. You can do anything you want to do. And what happens to the people who don't believe in Christ? What do? They go out, don't they? Because they're not of us. And I think it's interesting today we see people that go out from us because they may have a different doctrine, or they don't feel like they belong or something like that, but they're not opposed to Christ. And I don't think we would call them antichrists. But the ones who deny that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, they are antichrist. And you know what? He talks here, and he tells us some very important things here. In verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And you see, this group here, the reason they went out was because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And you look at that right there, and you think of what's going on. But John tells them in verse 20, He says, but you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, later on we'll look at the different times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in John's epistles. And it's amazing how much we learn from him about the Holy Spirit, who is going to reveal to us the things that we need to know. And we'll look at that in a little more as we go on into this. And he said, I have written to you because you, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. Young people, you have got a lot to be thankful for, that you're growing up in a local church that believes the truth of the Scriptures and that believes all of the principles that we're taught in Scriptures about who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what he did on Calvary and his resurrection. And you know what? This is one of the few churches I know of around in Reidsville that has a meeting every Sunday morning that remembers what Christ did for us on Calvary. That's amazing, isn't it? And you know the truth. And what a blessing it is to be with a group of people that loves the truth. Now, people who don't love the truth, what are they going to do? They're going to depart. They really are going to depart. And you know what he says in verse 22? Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. It's a package deal, isn't it? You can't have one without the other. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And if you don't have the Father, you don't have the Son. It's amazing how this all fits together. And he describes in here the third mention of the Antichrist. You know, I think it's interesting as we look at these passages of tonight, you'll see Antichrist, false prophets, liars, deceivers, spirit of error. How'd you like to have that title for yourself? How would you like to be gathered with a group that's called spirits of error or deceivers or liars? Well, you know what? If you deny Christ and you say that he's not the Son of God, then I think you fit into that category, don't you? It's amazing how you look at that situation. But look at verse 23. It says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And that's who we want to abide in. Again, it's a package deal, isn't it? If you've got the Son, you've got the Father. And he says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And again, this eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to think just a few moments. I've got some verses in this center column that deals with what John is describing about those who deny Christ, those who leave the truth and go out and believe a lie. Look at this two or three passages here I've got on this center column. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1. Listen to what it says. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And, you know, I think that was going on when Timothy received this letter, but it's definitely going on today. And you look at these next couple of verses here, and you'll see five different types of love. Okay? Listen to what he says here. For men will be lovers of themselves. Is that a description of our society today? Men, lovers of themselves, lovers of money. It's not a who you are and what you believe about God. It's how much money you got in your back pocket or in your checking account or your savings account. Okay? How many stocks and bonds do you have? Lovers of money. And that's not to say that it's wrong to have any of that. But if that's the focus of your life, you know, the love of money, Paul tells Timothy, is the root of all evil. And if that's the center of your life, you're going to have some major problems because money's going to let you down. Listen to what else he says here. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And what does all that lead to? Unloving. Isn't it amazing? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and unloving. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. You know, all you have to do is look at the news in the evening, and you know what? I'm glad our television programs that we have doesn't allow us to watch all of that. Because it is amazing when you look at the news on television, and I'm so discouraged, I go to the Y in the morning, and I try to get there before I have to row on this machine and look up at the screen at 9 o'clock at what's on the television. It's wicked. And it's approved everywhere. But listen to what else he says. Here's the next lover. Lovers of pleasures. Do we live in a society today that give me, give me, give me? Don't worry about COVID. I want to go out to the bars. I want to drink. I want to do what I want to do. And you can't tell me that I need to wear a mask when I do it. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. You know, one of the things we're told about being a lover of God is we need to obey those who are in authority over us, don't we? But anyway, we could take that in each one of these little details and expand on it. But when you do this right here and you fit into these categories here and you leave God out of the picture, listen to what it says in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Turn away from them. And you know, some of you be going away to college, going into military. And you know what I discovered back in the old days after I got saved in 1969? I discovered that when I would go away to school with this company that Ray Bullins and I used to work for, the way the classes would always start is everybody had to introduce themselves and tell about some of the hobbies, some of the things they like to do. You know, I discovered that when I would introduce myself, I would tell them who I was, where I was from, and I said, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love to read the Bible. If there are any here in this class while we're together, if you would like to talk about things in the Bible, I'd love to talk with you. And we can have some great conversations. That's my greatest thing that I enjoy doing. And I know at the center we had up in Washington, there were 6 rooms kind of in a circle type situation. They had in the middle of it, they had chairs for everybody, the 6 students. We had some great Bible studies everywhere I went. But that was my introduction. And you know what? I didn't have people coming to me, well, let's go out to this bar. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Never had those situations come up. But they have a form of godliness. I'm okay. Yeah, I believe this. I believe that. But they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. But listen to what else it says here. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Look at the next passage here where Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and this is just before he dies. Now, you know, some of your last words is the most important words that you would ever say. And you know what? If you knew that tonight was the last night, what would you want to tell everybody? Well, I'm getting a chance to tell you a little bit of what I'd tell you, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. But listen to what he tells Timothy. Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be prepared for any kind of situation that might come up. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do not do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What a challenge this is to Timothy. You know, we're told over in Job chapter 34, verse 3, it says, for the ear tastes words the way the mouth tastes food. Isn't that the way it works? The ear, it wants to hear what you're saying, but I'm going to taste what you're saying, and if I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to say, ooh, that's sour. My ear doesn't want to hear that. Itching ears. Okay? I want to find somebody that'll tell me that I can do what I want to do. Isn't that the way it is? But look at what he says there in 2 Peter. It says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many times have you thought, God, why don't you judge all of the crimes? You know, look at Chicago, the number of people that's being murdered every weekend. They're breaking the numbers this year already. And what's the cry of most people? Lord, judge them. And we read this all through the Psalms, don't we? Where the psalmist is asking God to take steps right now and solve this problem. Take these people out of the picture. Sometimes God does that in judgment, doesn't he? But aren't you thankful that he's long-suffering? He put up with me for 23 years before I got saved. How long did he put up with you before you got saved? And to think, if he were to come right now and take us away, what would happen to the ones who don't believe and don't know Christ the Savior? For example, maybe you guys here are teenagers and older than teenagers. I mean, you're beyond that age of innocency that if the rapture were to occur, you would be taken out. But if you're not saved, everybody would be gone, and whoever's not saved would be left. Do you want to be the only one left here? It's amazing when you look at this right here. And look at what it says in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. We don't want anybody to come preaching another gospel, do we? We want to listen to the only one gospel. And what is the gospel? Steve shared that with us just recently when he was in 1 Corinthians. Christ died for us according to Scriptures. He was buried according to Scriptures. And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if you believe that and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life, that's when you get saved. And you become a true believer in Christ. But think about this right here. We want all of our family members with us in heaven, don't we? You know, I praise the Lord that right now all my siblings, plus mom and dad, is in heaven waiting for me to get up there. And Philip and I are the only two of the siblings left. Two out of seven. That's amazing, isn't it? But listen to what it says here. It's amazing that the things that you can deny about Christ that will make you an antichrist. Look at what it says, and we just read this in verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. If you deny that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, then you're an antichrist. Let's look down in at the lower part of the center, first column there in 1 John 4 in verse 3. Listen to what it says here. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Isn't it amazing? If you deny Christ, if you deny his, that he was the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, you're an antichrist, and you're living a lie. Because that's what an antichrist is. It's a lie. You know, it's amazing all of these different names that we don't have time to look at. But I want us to look down here at some more things that he says here. Verse 26 in 1 John 2. It says, and these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. In other words, he's saying here that you don't need teachers. I'm saying he's not saying that we don't need Bible teachers. We don't need elders, leaders, and so forth. But he's saying that what happens to you when you get saved? You have an anointing, don't you? The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And who is the best teacher that you can think of than the Holy Spirit? He says, you will have him and he will teach you. And you know what I've discovered? And I remember a couple of years ago, we were having a prayer meeting with a group of pastors in Reedsville every Wednesday. And I was at this one church, and this guy told me, he said, you know what? You know what I've discovered in life? He said, I went to 5 years of seminary. He said, but I've discovered that I can sit here in my office, and I can read the Bible, and I can read all of these commentaries and different things, and I learn 10 times more by myself than I did in this Bible college. Who do you think is teaching him? Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit takes, and you know, one of the ways you can tell you're getting old is every time you read a verse of Scripture, a passage, all these different verses will pop in your mind. Who's doing that? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And he said, don't let anybody deceive you. This special anointing abides in you, and he will teach you. It says, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught, you shall abide in him. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's a verse in passage in John chapter 16 and verse 13 beginning there. And this is not on your outline, but listen to what it says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit knows how to work in your heart, in your mind, and teach you the Word. Now, who's the best teacher? The one who has read the book or the one who wrote the book? The one who wrote the book, right? Who inspired the Scriptures? It was the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Who is the best teacher? But what it takes is getting alone by yourself. Go into that closet, if you will, and you can have a quiet time. And the quiet time needs to get quieter from the things of the world. Turn off the computer if you have to. Let the screen go dead. Just you and the Lord. Read the Scriptures. Pray. Ask him to reveal to you what lessons you need to learn from these passages. That's the best Bible training you can ever get. But I just want us to think about the Holy Spirit doing a work in our hearts, in our lives. And listen to what it says in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know that he is righteous. You know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now, isn't that amazing that when you are doing what's right and you are being obedient to the Word of God and to God, what's the Spirit going to do in your brain? He's going to tell you that you've been born again. Isn't that amazing how he does that? And I can give you many illustrations of that. But let's look at this next section here that deals with the spirit of the Antichrist. It says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Again, when we are abiding in God and in Christ, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? He tells us that what we need to know, doesn't he? But listen to what it says there in 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now already in the world. Verse 4, You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Who is it that's greater in you than the Antichrist and the devil in the world? It's the Holy Spirit in it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know what? If you're of the world, one of the ways you know that you're of the world is the world accepts you. They'll listen to what you've got to say. They want to hear all your dumb ideas. But if you start talking about spiritual things, you'll find that they'll walk away real quick. They don't want to hear it. But listen to what it says here in verse 6 of that passage. It says, we are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What's the truth about the one who has the spirit of truth? They listen, don't they? The one of us that's of the world, the spirit of error, what are they going to do? They're going to run. They've got something they need to do. They need to be somewhere else. And they need to go and find somebody to talk to about how bad this person is. They just talk to them about spiritual things. It's amazing when you look at all of these things right here. You know, it's interesting over the years. I know Karen and I started doing Evangelism Explosion back in the late 70s at Shannon Hills. Jeff and I went to school in Charlotte and became trainers of the program. And we did the city of Reidsville. We went all over, you know, the Shannon Hills area there in Greensboro. And all those years with Good News on the Move, and even within the last 3 years, I mean, we did all of the city of Reidsville with the Jesus DVD. Great conversations. But you know what I discovered, especially out in Utah, and you know what's out there, and we had the same problem up in Canada with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we needed to know what they thought so that we could actually talk to them. But you know, we even have people come and knock on our back door and want to talk to us. And here's three questions you can ask them. And I've got it on the bottom of your outline, and this has helped me more than anything else. Ask them, who is Jesus Christ? Okay? And you'll find that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and different ones like that, they've got a different Christ. Then, why did he have to die on the cross? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? If you've got to work salvation, you don't have an answer. If your doctrine is based on works and what church you're a member of and so forth like that, you got the wrong answer. And then the last question I like to ask them, how can I know for certain that when I die, I'm going to heaven? I'd like to give you about 30 minutes to answer these three questions for me. And then I'd like you to give me 30 minutes so I can answer these questions to you. You know what? We got to be up somewhere else in 5 minutes. They leave. You know what? When I've asked these questions right here, they have never given me the opportunity to answer these questions. But I remember in the old days, I could listen to them for a long period of time and go absolutely nowhere. But the whole issue revolves around who is Christ. He is the Son of God, isn't he? And who did he love enough to die for? Every one of us. He loved every one of you enough to die for you on Calvary. And how can you do less than give Him your best after all He's done for you? That's what we want to do, isn't it? And the way we get into the door to start doing those good works for Him is we have to confess that we are a sinner. We have to repent of that sin, and then we need to confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the Father raised Him from the dead. And it says here in Romans 10:9, it says it much better than I did, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. That's how you get saved, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the glorious gospel. Father, we thank You for the many opportunities that You've given the people in this room here tonight, many opportunities to share the good news of the glorious gospel. Father, we thank You for how you talked to Steve at the Skyland Conference about tracts, being able to give people the good news of the glorious gospel. Father, sometimes they won't listen to what we've got to say, but they'll accept that tract and maybe go home and read it. And we just pray, Father, that all of the ones who've received those tracts and so forth, maybe one day we'll see them in heaven. We just pray Your blessing upon the glorious gospel. And we pray for ourselves that same thing that You told Timothy to do through the Apostle Paul. Do the work of an evangelist. We praise You and thank You tonight for this special time of being able to look into Your word and to be able to pray for the special needs that we have. We thank You and praise You in our Savior's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.